Thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. We don't take for granted that we are here on the first day of the week to celebrate Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, this man who humbled himself to be born a baby, grew up and lived an extraordinary life, and then died, was buried and rose again, ascended to heaven in front of hundreds of people, and today is waiting for us to join him. We thank you that we worship the Son of God, the living Son of God today. And I pray that as we open your word and look at a portion of Jesus' life and his interactions with his disciples, that you would teach us to trust you and to love you all the more. We pray in your name, amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. Our text today is going to be from Matthew chapter 14. We're going to continue with the last of a series of four messages from the book of 1 Peter, or about Peter's life. We've gone back and forth with different kinds of texts here. Again, today is going to be from Matthew 14, and it's going to be the story of Peter walking on the water to meet Jesus. As I've mentioned several times, Peter is one of my most favorite characters in all of Scripture, especially in the New Testament. He's probably talked about more than any other disciple except for perhaps the disciple John. And one of the things I appreciate about Peter's life is that he is rich in examples of bold words and bold actions. And I admire him for that, even in his failures, which we will see today. In those regards, I can relate to him well. And so, again, as we conclude this mini-sermon from Peter, it seems appropriate that we would look at the teachable moment that he gives us as recorded by the Apostle Matthew. So beginning in Matthew chapter 14, verses 24 through 33, we read, "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost!' But Jesus spoke to them at once, 'Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. 'Save me, Lord!' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed Peter. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?' And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshiped Jesus. 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." Our primary point this morning is this: there's a fine line between faith and fear, and which side of that line largely depends on where you look and what you see. Jesus had been teaching just prior to this event occurring. This is where Jesus is on the side of the hill, and he has thousands of people that have come to him to hear his teaching, and it's growing late in the day. Jesus' disciples come to him and say, "These people are hungry. We need to feed them." And so Jesus there performs the miracle of turning the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into a meal that served thousands of people. And that day ends with Jesus commanding his disciples to get into a boat on the Sea of Galilee and go ahead of him to the other side while Jesus stays with the crowd and sends them away. After Jesus does that, the text tells us that Jesus goes off and prays by himself. And by the time Jesus is ready to join the disciples, the boat's already a long distance from shore. It's early in the morning after midnight. And that's not all. As so often is the case, even today, for those of us who enjoy fishing or getting out on the water, oftentimes as the day progresses, as it gets to be nighttime, what happens? The wind picks up, And so now the disciples that the boat the disciples are in is being rocked. The text says literally they were fighting heavy waves. In the Greek, the word there means that they were being tormented by waves. So this wasn't just, you know, cruising along at a comfortable pace. Even for a group of fishermen, this was bouncing up and down, a little sick to your stomach perhaps. I can just imagine what that would have been like. Have you ever been caught out on the water in those kinds of conditions? I haven't exactly. Troy's nodding his head. Troy, I want to hear your story later. Maybe I want to hear your story later. I'm going to tell you the closest that I ever got to this and share a couple of pictures with you. So last summer, right about this time, Michelle and I took an Alaskan cruise. And on one of the days where we were in port, specifically in Juneau, so this is downtown, huge downtown capital of Juneau right here, and that's our cruise ship. We'd signed up for a whale watching excursion. And so during the day in Juneau, it was really nice. In fact, it was so nice that the people that were talking with us as we were exiting the ship and coming to shore were saying, "You guys are in Juneau on one of the best days of the whole year. It's never really like this." It was warm. It wasn't raining. It was just a beautiful day. And we thought, man, we're going to go out and look at whales, and it's sunshine, and Mr. Photographer here, I'm going to take 1,000 pictures. It's going to be awesome. Well, we get in a little boat that seats about 15 people, and we get out on the water. And we're out there for about 20 minutes, and while we're there, this storm comes up literally from out of nowhere. You didn't see it rolling in, and then it was all of a sudden just there like that. It started raining, and then it started hailing, and the visibility went from miles to maybe 10 or 15 feet. And the boat is rocking up and down and up and down. And in my stomach is starting to rock up and down and up and down. This is a picture of Michelle as we're on that boat. That's about how she felt. So as we're wondering what we're going to do here, the tour guide is spending the entire time on the radio. The tour guide is also this little boat captain. And he's on the radio, and he's trying to figure out two things specifically. Number one, are there any whales to be found? Because now we've been out on the water for more than a half hour. There aren't any whales. And even if there were, we couldn't see them because the rain is coming down so hard. And the second question he's trying to answer is, are we even going to stay out there? Where is the storm? Is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? And so he's on the radio. We're looking like Michelle, everybody in the boat. And we stay in that condition for about 15 or 20 minutes. And the tour guide comes back and talks to us. He goes back to the radio, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he says, "Hey, we're out of time. This isn't really going to get any better anyway. We're just going to head back into port in Juneau." And so just about the time that happens, the radio crackles. And he picks up, and a guide that's in a different boat says, "Hey, we just spotted a whale. And so our boat and all the other boats that are in this harbor, which probably half a dozen or so, all speed off to one location and form a big circle out in this bay. That's what our boat looked like. That was another one that was just like it. And once we get to the bay, we finally have our reward." This was a mama whale, and there was a baby whale behind her, and they came up and down and up and down multiple times. I don't know if it's evident from where you're sitting. This would have been a lovely picture, except now I'm outside and I'm standing in the rain, and so it's really gray, and if you could come up and look at it as closely as I can see it, you can see the rain just literally coming down in sheets, and it did that the whole time that we were out looking for whales, and it's quite uncomfortable afterwards. About the time that our boat got back to shore, of course, the rain stopped, the sun came back out. All was good. All of that happened literally in about an hour and a half. Well, that's my story about being rocked in the water. Maybe you have yours. Again, Troy, I look forward to hearing yours over lunch today. Let's get back to Peter. So Peter's in a boat with about a dozen other people. and the waves are battering the boat. Again, the text tells us they're a long way from shore. Peter's a fisherman by trade. Maybe that helps him some, but Matthew points out that it's now 3 o'clock in the morning. And what do they see? They see Jesus walking on the water. At this point in time, they've seen Jesus do a lot of miracles. If you remember going through the chronological Bible a couple years ago now, the miracle of Jesus walking on the water is educated to be about miracle 17 or 18 in the New Testament. So Jesus' disciples have seen Jesus do a lot of amazing things by this point in time. And never mind the loaves and fish that Jesus just fed a big crowd with. They've seen Jesus heal all kinds of diseases from town to town. They've seen him in action. But there's no point that they've in time here where Scripture tells us that they'd ever yet seen Jesus walk on water. So this was a new one. And so Jesus is walking towards them. And in verse 26, the text says, when the disciples saw Jesus on the water, they were terrified. Of course they were. We would be too. They probably didn't recognize Jesus. In fact, the text says the disciples cried out. I love this Greek word. Look at it. They cried out, it's a phantasma. That word in the Greek means, you might guess, what does that word mean? Phantom. Phantom. Who said that? Ileana, my goodness. Yeah, that word means phantom in our English. It's also translated in the New Living Translation, which we're using for our text this morning, as a ghost, okay? And so the disciples see Jesus. It's a phantasma. It's a ghost. They didn't recognize him. And of course, why would they? They're caught in a storm. It's dark. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They've never seen anybody walk on water before, I don't imagine. And so they're afraid and they cry out. Of course, Jesus recognizes this and he speaks to them at once. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. If anyone was dozing off, I imagine they were awake by now. And then enter Peter. So now we get Peter's interaction here with Jesus. Verse 28. Peter called out to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water. I wonder what Jesus was thinking, by the way, when Peter said that. Well, Jesus says, yes, come, Peter. And so Peter hops out of the boat, and we'll read in just a minute about Peter walking towards Jesus. You might remember a few weeks ago on Mother's Day, Pastor Kurt was showing a video of his grandson Artie diving down the stairs in their home. Do you remember that video? And he was making the point that some of us would look at that video, some parents would look at their children, and they'd say something like, well, that's not very safe. That's not very smart. We don't want our child to do that. And others would look at that and say, wow, that's awesome. Let me pick you up and let's do it again. I can tell you that I was in the first category when I watched that video, on the more cautious side. Kurt tells me that the majority of you were cheering Artie on, saying, do it again, do it again. I'm not sure I trust Grandpa on that, but that's what he says. Well, imagine you're one of the other 11 disciples that's on the boat, and you hear Peter and Jesus talking to each other. Peter saying, hey, Jesus, if it's really you, command me to come walk on the water to you. And Jesus says, hey, sure, go ahead, come. Imagine you're Thomas in the boat. What are you thinking? That's not safe. That's not very smart. I imagine if I were in the boat, I'd be saying nothing at all. I'd be the guy sitting back waiting for after the fact to comment on it and say, that was stupid. But for the time being, I'm just watching. I wonder what the rest of the disciples were doing. Well, Jesus says, come to me. And it's an amazing story after that. This would be a good time to repeat our primary point. The fine line between faith and fear depends on where we're looking and what we see. In this very moment when Peter asked Jesus for the command and Jesus gives it, which side of that line do you think Peter is on? Faith or fear? I'll bet he's solidly on that line of faith, isn't he? In fact, We see a demonstration of that. Verse 29, Peter goes over the side of the boat and he walks on the water towards Jesus. So far, the faith meter way up here. He's walking on the water. You ever done that? I haven't either. The text doesn't specifically say, but where do you suppose Peter is looking when he's out on the water? When he first starts, boy, he's probably staring down Jesus, isn't he? Isn't he just looking Jesus square in the eyes, hoping everything is going to go well? In that moment, Peter and Jesus together experience what I would call brilliant victory. This is faith in action and working. And Jesus is helping Peter be engaged in this miracle, this commandment that Jesus has to allow Peter to walk on the water. The text, however, has that transition word. That transition word, the word but. Next verse. But when Peter saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Where was Peter's focus now? Probably wasn't on Jesus anymore. He's probably not looking Jesus square in the eyes anymore. He's looking at the rain. He's looking at the waves. He's looking at the boat. He's looking at everything else but Jesus. He no longer recognizes the power of Jesus. He no longer recognizes the protection of Jesus, the miracle that Jesus was doing. Maybe he's even forgetting he's been chosen by Jesus. Peter's looking at everything else. And when that happened to Peter, and when that happens to us, it is not good. Our fine line between faith and fear depends on what we look at, and it depends on what we see. So Peter, terrified now, says, "Save me, Lord." And the text says that Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, and he grabs Peter and says, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Then they climb back in the boat, and the text says the wind immediately stops. This is one of those events in Scripture where I would have loved to have 21st century technology, right? The phone recording the whole thing. Wouldn't this be great to see on film? The real event on film? I guess phones don't have film, do they? You know what I mean. Digital capture. I'd love to actually see all of this play out. Specifically, what I'd love to see is Jesus. To be able to see how Jesus is physically responding to one of his best friends and his disciple. Was Jesus angry? Was he sad? Was he annoyed? That'd be me. Was he frustrated? Was Jesus' question about Peter's faith a rhetorical question, the kind that he didn't really expect Peter to respond to? Or was it a genuine question to Peter about his faith? Was Jesus smiling? Was he squinting? Was he sighing? Was he clutching Peter? We don't really know. We don't have those kinds of details in the text. But we'll get back to hypothesis in just a few minutes. Verse 32 of chapter 14 says, they climbed back into the boat, and again, the wind stopped. It begged the question as I was rereading the story this week, I wonder if Jesus just did all this on purpose for the sake of Peter and the apostles. Jesus created the storm. He could have done that. Interesting question. Maybe I'll get to ask someday. So, now they're in the boat. They're worshiping. The disciples say, "You really are the Son of God." Now, the question, where is Peter looking? Where are the other disciples looking? I'm guessing, again, squarely on Jesus. Maybe into his eyes, maybe at his feet. The literal word for worship means bowed low. Maybe these guys were on their knees, praising Jesus and honoring him and looking squarely at his feet. They affirm that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And again, we're reminded here that the fine line between faith and fear depends on what we're looking at and what we see when we look. The primary point today is also the primary application of our message. I'm going to ask us here to take a little bit of time to engage in some very simple renew. I don't want this to scare you. This is going to be very, very simple. We're going to do it right here together. But I do want to take some time to give you an opportunity to perhaps experience some peace this morning, the kind of peace that Peter felt after Jesus rescued him. So here's the assignment here. Close your eyes if you like. You're welcome to keep them open. I'd like you to think about something that's going on in your life right now that's pretty serious. It feels pretty serious to you. It's got your attention. Whether you want to think about it or not, this something is never very far from you. And it creeps in even when you don't want it to creep in. You have that something in mind? As you think about that, what words would you associate with the person that you're thinking about, or the event that you're thinking about, or the circumstance, that something? Is it a person? Is it an object? I want you to imagine that you're with that person or you're with that object right now. You see it as clear as day. So you're there with a problem. I'd ask you how you feel as you're there with that problem. As you're looking at that concern that you have, I'd like to invite Jesus to come into the room with us. So Jesus is now in that room with you and your problem. Does Jesus look at the problem? Does he address it? Does he talk to it? Does Jesus say anything to you about it? Let's just stay in that room with our problem and with Jesus for a minute. Experience Jesus there with you with your problem. As you're there with Jesus and that problem, what is it that Jesus says to you about that problem, about that person, about that event, something that's past or something that's coming up? What does he say to you about it? What truth does Jesus want you to know in this moment? This kind of personal renew moment that doesn't require a helper is something that we can do anytime, any day, with any problem. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us about the power of renewing our minds. What does that mean? It means that we're inviting a truth into a lie. We're inviting a solution into a problem. We're inviting Jesus specifically into an area of darkness or deception. We're asking Jesus to shine light on that with us. What was the lie that Peter was believing when he hopped out of the boat and he took his eye off of Jesus and instead he saw the waves and the darkness? What was his lie? I'm going to die. That was his lie. I'm going to die. This isn't safe. What was the truth? This is the Son of God. Peter had seen Jesus do far greater things than what Jesus is doing now for Peter. The truth is that Peter didn't have to be afraid for his life. The truth is that Jesus can and will and would have protected Peter. But there's a fine line between faith and fear, and which one we experience depends on what we're looking at and what we see. And in our moments when our mind needs to be renewed, what are we seeing? We're seeing the lie. We're seeing the thing that isn't true. We're seeing the thing that's overwhelming. What are we missing? We're missing the truth. We're missing Jesus in that moment. That was Peter's challenge. And it's the same for us. The fine line between faith and fear. When you look at that something that we pictured a moment ago, do you see a problem or do you see a solution? I'm asked that at work a lot. Is this a problem or is this a solution? Is this a problem or is this an opportunity? Well, it always feels like a problem. But the right answer in the workplace is, well, it's an opportunity. We're going to grow through this. Isn't our spiritual life much the same way? Is this a problem or is this an opportunity? It often feels like a problem. We're not thinking most of the time, thank you, God, I know you're growing me right now. We're thinking, I hate this. Why am I feeling this again? But the truth is, those moments are opportunities. We don't see insurmountable circumstances when our eyes are fixed on Jesus. We don't see fear when our eyes are fixed on Jesus. We see our Savior. We see the one who is involved with our very creation. Jesus wants us in those moments to have faith in Him, not in ourselves. Jesus doesn't call us to have faith in ourselves. He calls us to have faith in Him. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, verses that we're very familiar with. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Come on, Paul. Paul doesn't know you. Paul is not omnipotent like God is. When Paul wrote this, he didn't have you in mind. He didn't know what you're up against. He didn't know what that bad something was in your life. Paul, you don't know how hurt I am. You don't know how I'm being opposed. That's true. Paul doesn't know any of that when he writes this. But Paul wasn't thinking about you specifically when he wrote those words to the Christians in the city of Philippi. He was thinking about them, and I imagine he was thinking about himself. Because Paul's pretty transparent in Scripture, isn't he? He faced things. He had some things in his life that were very hard. God knows what you're facing. The Apostle Paul may not have known that when he wrote the book of Philippians, but God knows what you're facing. He knows what you're dealing with. God simply asks you for one thing, not 20 things, not 10 things, not 5 things. He asks you for one thing, faith. Jesus said to Peter, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Was Jesus angry when he said that? Was he sad? Was he annoyed? I'd like to think that Jesus was a little sad, but not discouraged. I'd like to think that Jesus held Peter by the shoulders and just looked him square in the eye in a soft voice, but a confident one, and said, "Peter, you have so little faith. Why don't you trust me?" And maybe smiled at his friend. And that moment, I'd like to think that Peter recognized, this doesn't ever have to be a problem for me again. I know who I'm serving. This, in fact, is Jesus, the Son of God. Friends, my encouragement today, I hope, is crystal clear. As we're reminded of this story of Peter walking on top of the water and then sinking and being rescued and exhorted by Jesus, don't we see ourselves in Peter? This is why I like reading about Peter so much. We step out of the boat, into the world, into the storms all the time. Sometimes those storms are terrifying. But Jesus is there. He's always there. Where will our attention go? Which side of the line will we be on when we're in the storm? Will it be on the waves that are lapping up against our proverbial boat? Or will our eyes be fixed on Jesus? You know, Peter doubted Jesus. In a moment of panic, Peter doubted Jesus. This doesn't mean that we have permission to, but it means that we have an example of a man who went on to become one of the most influential Christians in all of time, who in this moment doubted Jesus. It's easy to trust Jesus in the best of times, isn't it? When our health is good, we're making money, the kids are behaving. It's easy to trust Jesus in those moments. How about in the more difficult times? How about in the midst of the somethings? As we close, I want to remind you again of who Jesus really is. Who is he really? These are words that Peter records later in his own life. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this about Jesus. He, Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He, Jesus, himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By Jesus' wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Peter himself was there to see the sinless Jesus. Peter saw the insults. Peter saw the suffering. Peter saw the lack of retaliation. He saw the wounds. Peter himself was going astray, but he himself was found by the shepherd and overseer of his soul. The fine line between faith and fear depends on where we look and what we see. Trust Peter's eyewitness of these events. Trust Jesus. We can thank Jesus in every circumstance, and we can call on Jesus this week in the midst of our somethings to save us if we'll fix our eyes on him. If you'd like to accept Christ today and have this power and have this friend be a part of your life for the rest of your life, then we would invite you to do that before you leave today. Grab somebody. Talk to the friend that brought you. Talk to somebody who seems like they know what's going on. ask him, how can I know more about this Jesus? For those of us who have accepted Christ, again, the reminder today, fix your eyes on him. Be on the line of faith and not on the other side, the side of fear. Let's take a moment to talk to the person next to you about what was meaningful today. I'll come up and close with a prayer in a moment, and then we'll have our announcements. I just pray that it will be of value to us, not only today, but as we go on through the rest of this week. Lord, help us to see you when we're caught in those moments of doubt, confusion, testing, negative emotions. We have them all the time. Help us in those moments to see Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the overseer of our soul. Again, we just thank you for the value of being able to see Peter's life. I thank you for the value that I see in being able to look at his life and see myself. And know, Jesus, that if you forgave Peter, you forgive me too. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brian. A few announcements. We have Pod Grace. Hopefully you guys can all come to that. Come whether you brought anything or not. We'd love to have lunch with you. Right immediately after that, you are free to bring all of your garbage to the garbage sale that we are having later this week. We are having a garage sale aimed at missions, and so you can start unloading your stuff as soon as we're done eating. My whole trunk is going in the fellowship hall in a little bit. We need volunteers for that, though. Does anybody know that they could staff that sale? Anybody want to come? Anybody want to volunteer? No volunteers right now. That's okay. But there's a link. There's a link in your bulletin, so please, we need a few more people, consider doing that. If you would like to help set up for this sale, I will be there on Wednesday night. If you're a member of the youth group volunteer, I would encourage you to come. Or if you're just anybody that wants to have another chance to joyfully serve Jesus, come here on a Wednesday night about 6 o'clock, as soon as you're done with dinner. It usually takes us a few hours to put all the stuff on the tables, make it look nice, all of that. Please consider coming. You can email the office if you are interested in our baptism Sunday. That is going to be July 12th. If you or your child would like to be baptized, we would love to have you do that and celebrate with you. I believe we have about 3 or 4 people already, and we'd love to make it as many as we can have. Summer retreat volunteer signups. Many of you have already signed up. Please take another look. Please consider signing up. There's still a few open slots. You can do that in 2 different ways. You can sign up in the foyer, or you can sign up with the link in your bulletin. Also, if you've yet to pay, all the payments are due by next Sunday. In addition, in 3 weeks on June 28th, there is no Sunday service here at the building. It will be in Cedar Falls at Riverview Retreat Center. So do not come here to have church in 3 weeks. A couple more here. If you are interested, we need more help in our Sunday school rooms. We need help. We need more teachers for the age 4 through kindergarten room and the first and second grade classes. So if you're interested, please email Brenda, office@newlifecr. Finally, here's the last thing I will say. Our Building Addition campaign. So far, we've had a generous amount raised, but we've only had a response from 33 people. There are 85 different individuals or families. So we are still asking for a response from virtually 2/3 of the congregation. And so the response is not necessarily, I can pledge money. It's, here's my interest level. And even if you can't offer anything to this campaign, we'd still like to hear from you. So whether you're able to give or not, please find that link, please sign up, and tell us what you think about this project. Okay, that is all we have today. I just want to thank you again, Brian, for your sermon. As you're preaching, one verse I thought about, I will share this with you. Hopefully it's one more thing you can go and take home. One of the amazing promises of God. This is from Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." You can have the perfect peace of God this week if you think about Christ. If you aim your faith at him and not in anything else or anyone else. If you trust in God. It says, "Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord God is an everlasting rock." Take that with you. Remember that. Please join us in just a moment for lunch. God bless you. We'll see you.